Hey guys, welcome back to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are at the mid-season finale and it is crazy. We have reunions and Greg is back. We're going to talk all about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, nice to meet you. You've been inside
of me. Are we doing fingers? Is that what we were doing?
I have fake nails on, so
hello,
I'm very much like
nice
tapping
to meet
lately.
You broke my heart.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. This is our final one of the year for 2018, and I think we only have a few more left when we come back from the break. I think there's only about like five more, so we're getting to the end.
Yeah, and I hope something happens, I'll tell you that.
I mean, we're starting.
I hope something drastic, but I need something drastic. Can she kill someone again?
I don't think she's quite in that crazy mode anymore. I think we're past that part.
Or
we'll see. Maybe that's the twist at the end of it all. I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I am joined by Mr. Tay Rahm over here with me.
Hello, all. How are you? I'm rehabbing an ACL injury, so please forgive me if I'm not at my full extent of energy like usual and sitting in an awkward position.
But you're here.
Oh, I'm here. Oh, I am definitely here.
And that is what matters.
Yeah.
So what were your overall thoughts? I know you've kind of said, you know, you want something a bit more drastic, but what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
Well, this episode was actually one of the better episodes of the last, I would say, three. It's the one that had the most meaning to me. It seems to be setting something up. The others were fun, but they were filler and not what I was expecting for a series finale season. This episode came in full force. It was fun. It was funny, but it still had a lot of meaning. And at the end, I felt like it cut short. I wanted something more. I will say this. I enjoyed the way they cut and broke the fourth wall. There was no fourth wall. There was like almost, they kept insinuating. Yeah, we were all part of the show, this one. Interesting. And of course, the song with the high school stuff made me think of you. It was like the dichotomy of us. So I enjoyed that too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I mean, one, I've been waiting for Greg to come back because I felt like we weren't going to really steamroll into the season until he did. And I was kind of surprised it was so long until we got him. And I was pleasantly surprised because I was so hesitant with a new actor taking over this role because I love the original actor so much. But I do think that Skylar Astin did a great job with the role. I'll talk more about it when we get into their storyline. They did a lot of fourth wall breaking. They were really letting us know that Valentine's Day seems to be when this is kind of going
to... It seems to be when it's
wrap it up.
A series of holiday.
It reminded me of the song they did when they brought Nathaniel in. And it was like, who's this guy? Why are we bringing him in so late into the season? By season, we mean fall. And it was like that again.
It was very funny.
This reminds me of season two. And by that, I mean spring. I missed the first episode or first season theme song.
I'll be here for the rest of the series of holiday.
Yeah.
It was fun.
They were very much being like, by the way, just in case you didn't know, this is the timeline. This is where we're at.
Exactly.
This is what's happening.
Which was
kind of fun. And I like when they do it in that way because they don't try to like, other shows will almost treat their audience like they're not that smart and they can get away with things. And they don't do that, I appreciate. They're like, we know that we're changing these things on you. We know that we're doing this and we're just going to bring you into it.
Well, I've only seen the switch. I've only seen the switch work a couple of times. I saw it happen on Roseanne, where they did address it with Becky. And then I saw it on Fresh Prince, of course, with the mom, which they did not address it. But there was a change of character. So, and by character, I mean the actual character, not just who she was, but as she acted was a little different. She was a lot more lighthearted coming back in the different mom. So that's the only two times that I've seen this happen. It's happened in a lot of other shows. I mean, I think Grey's Anatomy had it. It just doesn't work. But this show made it work. It made me not only, it made me forget the other Greg, honestly.
Well, we'll get more into it later, but I do agree with you. And my biggest pet peeve is, though, when they try to act like, no, we didn't do anything different. It's like, at least address it in some sort of way.
Keep it moving, yeah.
And keep it moving, exactly. But let's start talking about Josh and Hector Wijo, this whole reunion thing. So we start off our episode with Josh talking with Rebecca about his reunion, which is happening 12 years later because it's Hector, and we all know Hector's a little late to every game. And so he missed the 10-year mark. But Josh kind of is going into this, like, I'm prom king, so I'm the most important person in this room, which is not surprising coming from Josh that he thinks he's the most important person going into any
room. A very Josh thing to be, Josh way to act, the whole nine.
Yeah.
So it was Josh's speech.
The king's speech.
Was possibly the best speech of all time. Now, I'm not saying I'm ever going to win an Oscar or anything like that, an Emmy. But if I do, that will be my speech. I feel like I'm just going to give...
Just retell a movie?
Retell the king's speech. I think that's what I'll have to do.
That's what you'll have to do.
Yeah.
Well, we find out very quickly, though, because Hector's a little perturbed by this because this is supposed to be his moment. He's the class president. But Josh took over and it gets to him so much that he lets Josh know, you're not the prom king. Yeah. Why Joe was the prom king?
Why Joe was the prom king? Go figure. Which makes a lot more sense, actually. Why Joe seems like he would have become prom king. Like, he seems like he would have been the most popular, liked person in
Well, it's like
school.
That kind of stereotype of the people that don't care are the most popular.
Sure.
And Why Joe is the perfect encompassing, I don't care about anything, except for maybe Greg. But Greg was a little too nerdy, I think.
Sure.
Why Joe was like, I'm hot, I'm in shape, and I don't care. And I'm gay.
And I don't know how many people would have passed up prom king.
Yeah.
And he did, like, I don't want the attention. I don't want to have to deal with it. Give it up. Give it to the runner-up. And the runner-up is Josh.
Josh.
And Josh felt it. Josh loved being prom king. It validated his high school existence.
Yeah. Josh had nothing else going for him but the fact that he was popular. So.
Sure.
If you don't win prom king, when that's all you care about,
yeah,
that's going to kind of destroy you. So it really steamrolled the rest of his life, I think so.
Yeah. You know, even the way Josh came in and was, first he did the handstand. He did the whole intro, and he knew everyone's name, and he was pointing and doing everyone's name. And I wonder, actually, if those were names that were drafted, or if he did different. He just came up with names as he was going on each time. And I wonder about that script-wise, just for personal edification. But with the handstand, he was just, I'm going to be the star. I'm taking away everyone's shine. Then after getting to a confrontation regarding the speech with Hector, he still goes up there and sneaks his way on stage and gives a speech, which I actually thought was actually kind of disrespectful.
I was 100% disrespectful.
Yeah, Hector put in all the effort and put this together. He was the president.
Also, being prom king only is 1 year. That's your one event. Being sure. A class president is an entire year. And that
is the year instead of one night.
And it's who puts together the reunions and everything moving forward. So it's definitely sure. A more responsibility-led post. And because he was so irresponsible, I think now that he's starting to get everything together in his life, you know, he's married now, he's growing up, he moved out of his mom's house. I think he really wanted to have this moment.
He didn't get the two-hour lunch he promised, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel.
He did everything else, though.
Did you think what Hector did was right, telling Josh about White Joe's victory?
I don't know if it was, like, necessarily right to take that away from Josh, especially with how long it had been, but I could understand being frustrated and maybe saying stuff that you don't really mean to say. And I don't think it added anything or just no one else knows, so only Josh knows, but
that's all that cared. He's the only person that actually cared about it. So
I don't think it was right. No,
I don't know. I'm torn in my decision if I think it's right. And I actually would love for everyone who's watching at home, if you guys please vote in the comments below and let us know if you think what he did was right or not. Was it right and for the wrong reasons? Now that might be
That's
a conversation.
True. I think that it should have, if it was something to talk about, it should have talked about it much earlier, not 12 years after the fact. At this point, it doesn't matter anymore.
But then again, if you did it earlier, then does it take it away more? I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like the stuff that Hector hid in the trunk, you know?
When Hector finally gets to give his speech and he's just pulling out all these mementos.
Yeah.
From his trunk. And some mementos that you guys can leave us in the future is some subscriptions and comments. And Tehran's going to let us know all about that right now.
Well, I just want to let you know, hey, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of our and your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. Just click right off of them. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it, not just for our show, but for all the shows across the board, all of our different channels. It really helps us out, and we love hearing from you. So let us know what you think.
Love it.
But the storyline kind of ends with Josh just making friends with the Magic Club.
Yeah.
A club that was a very unpopular maybe club, and he never knew even existed because he was so wrapped up in his popularity.
He didn't. It was fun. I got to see a couple of my friends on screen. A lot of my friends were in this episode, actually. So Danny Jollis, who's a comedian and a writer, he played Raven.
George.
Who is George from The Office.
Yep.
And so that was just it was just interesting watching that happen. I guess, you know, and it's funny because that seems like something Danny would be a part of in real life.
Well, it's also funny. I love how they really stick to their guns with the character development that they do in the show, and with George, because he's the most least memorable person in The Office, he is also then one of the least memorable people in high school as well. So it crossed over.
But he was the most memorable of all the magicians.
That is true.
He was the leader of his pack.
And Josh kind of gets to find out that he has more interests than just being popular, and he has some interests that maybe aren't the most popular interests.
They weren't. I really like the song, too. What's the name of that song?
The song was What You Missed While You Were Popular, which we'll definitely discuss in our song really section later. That. But yeah, it was a fun song.
That was strong. That was strong. I thought that was a very good storyline. It was a good, fun storyline. I don't think it really perpetuated anything more.
Yeah.
But it was a good storyline. It was. I found it enjoyable.
Yep. And the other half of Josh, Valencia, she gets her little to relive her high school years as well.
Yes.
So we get to Valencia's back from New York. She is going to her high school reunion, and she's very, very interested in this guest list and who's coming. And she won't say why or who is on this guest list, but Heather figures it out because Heather needs something in her life because she's just a married old woman right now.
I love Heather. She's only been married for 5 minutes. But
that's how quickly she got bored.
Yeah. It's like, my marriage is great. I need drama.
Yeah. Like, I'm stable here. That's fine. That's great. I love it. But something else needs to happen then. Yeah. And so she really takes this role in Valencia's life and needs to figure out who this person was that Valencia was in love with in high school and who she cheated on Josh with. And because she knows that they're there, who they are. And she's assuming it's a woman.
Well, it's the way that Valencia presented it, right? So it seemed to make sense, and also it was against Heather and even myself. I didn't think that Valencia would have cheated on Josh with another boy. That just seemed it didn't seem in character. Almost, it's like that's when it would be really cheating. Like she really cheated. If it was with a girl, it would be understandable, and we could justify it within the morals of the character of saying she's still a very good person, and she was just with her sexual fluidity, she was experiencing it, and we would be okay with that.
The one thing that tipped me off though is that when Valencia is telling the story, she kept referring it to them as they and them. Yeah. She wouldn't say her or he, which made me be like, I don't know if it is a girl.
I mean, with pronouns nowadays, we never specifically know.
But I just felt that if she wasn't saying no to Heather, that it was or wasn't a girl. But I was just like, it's just like, I think, a hidden clue that she won't say she.
I think it had a lot to do with us as the audience to say that we would be understanding of that type of extra relationship affair rather than if it was, and whether if it was another male or another female, it actually doesn't matter. Regardless of what she did, she cheated.
Yeah.
But we justify it within these realms when it doesn't actually. It doesn't even matter. So that's when the pronoun of they came to play. Yeah. So it was very smart. I don't know if it was intention, but knowing the writers of this show, I think I would bet that would be their intention.
Yeah, I think it's intention.
Yeah, so that we would we would totally have to face our own qualms with these kind of things and ideology.
Well, it all comes to fruition when it's Father Bra or Joseph, because Valencia slipped him the love note into his Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And he never showed up, but now we learned it's because it was in Heather's trunk for 12 years. And Father Bra gets his Letterman jacket back. They come up with a plan to try to steal it back. It doesn't work. He finds the letter, and they kind of have this sweet little moment of, we missed our time, but we know that in this moment we loved each other, and we're both in different places now, and we don't need to be together.
Do you think that if Joseph came back and Father Bra was gone, he was like, oh my gosh, me not knowing is what changed me into the house of God. Now I realize I'm there for the wrong reasons. I need to be with you. What do you think Valencia would have done?
I don't know.
For a second, I felt like she was right back at
she's
it.
All, I mean, it did. But she also is in a committed relationship with another woman. She's
cheated before.
I mean, it's true. I also wasn't 100% on board with it being Father Bra, who this person she was in love with, only because Josh and him are so close. And like now I feel like I have to go back and rewatch the series because maybe it's just my memory misleading me. But I'm like, wouldn't there be clues spurned out with her around him?
Maybe there were clues. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of need to feel like I need to go back and rewatch past seasons.
But the dichotomy of it being Father Bra and then Rebecca sleeping with Greg's father, yeah. That has to be something that was meant and planned and played out. Like, they were like, who should Valencia have done this? Father Bra. That's who.
Who's the person that Josh trusts the most in the world?
Josh's father. You know, in that extent, it's the Father Bra. They have a close connection. The person who would probably hurt him the most.
Yeah.
Valencia clearly has a type.
So here's the other question. Do we think at any point they'll bring it back up for Josh to find out, or do we think they're just going to leave it here?
I have to believe they bring it up for Josh to find out. There's no way that we find out and Josh doesn't. There's no reason. If that's the case, then that's just a loose end. That's just,
yeah, like, why bring it up?
This becomes fodder again. And I don't want to believe that this is fodder. Because why throw Father Bra under the bus? It's a person who we've even grown to love and trust. Someone yeah. who we've been like, this is the logical, good person. I didn't. And when I found out it was him, it was because he's such a good guy that you're almost like, oh, okay.
I know.
Like, okay. You know, it's him though, you know? We still don't see it, but okay, it's him. And even the way he handled it at the end was so sweet and heavenly. He's like, I'm in a serious relationship with... He looks up and then he goes, and from what I understand, you're in a serious relationship too, and it's going well, and you look happy. Like, he doesn't even take advantage of the situation because he's such a good guy. So why soil and sully his name and it not be a part of later plot development?
Yeah, so we'll see. I guess we'll have to wait and see when that develops, if it develops.
Sure.
But I like to believe that too, because it seems like too big of a thing for them to bring up if they're not going to let him in on it in some sort of way.
I guarantee.
And someone else who's kind of been taken advantage of is Greg. And he makes his return in this mid-season finale. And he looks very different because he's being played by a different actor, as we know, Skylar Astin. And what do you think, first off, of how they brought it back around? Of why Rebecca... Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how I want to phrase this. So everybody else is just, yeah, it's Greg. And Rebecca's like, no, he looks different.
I loved it. I loved how they made it so we weren't played the fullest audience. We weren't the only ones who noticed the difference. I loved how they had to explain it. It gave them a reason to be like, oh, I'm the new you or whatever mm-hmm. later on. It was everything that if you're going to do this, this is how you do it.
Yep.
Especially within the confines of this kind of show. The show that's smart and doesn't take advantage or manipulate its viewers. It doesn't. And this is a perfect example of how it did not do that. And I enjoyed it very much.
And I really liked the fact that they brought it around in the sense that she was like, there's no way for us to be together. What do you mean we're endgame, guys? Like, no. This is all the reasons we can't be together. This is all the reasons we shouldn't be together. The only way we could ever be together is if he was a completely different person. Hey, boom.
Boom. Completely different person. Alternate universe. Smart.
Alternate universe.
Just smart.
And Skylar Astin did, in my opinion, a really good job of miming the character in his mannerisms or the tones and inflections of his speech. Not that he didn't have his own twist into the character. Like, it was evident that Greg had grown and he was somewhat of a different person, but he still had those kind of, like, sarcastic little insult throws, and he did it in the same pauses and the way that the original actor did, and even the movements he would do. So I think he did a good job of mimicking that character to make us believe he still was that person, but just a little different.
I mean, you're way better at assessing things like that. I thought that it was really cool how he's now the dynamic of him being sober, and that gives him a different feel as a person. And I was like, it just, you know what? I'm going to say this. It made sense. And something that shouldn't make sense is nonsensical, made sense. And that's why it was such a good web and flow. But you're way better at assessing those kind of nuances than I would be.
I think because I come from an acting background, I just noticed those things 100%. Right off the back. But I think it is smart of them to do, because it will feel false if it's not close enough to the original person. Because when we grow, but we still retain who we are at the core. So you can't be a completely 100% different person and act completely different.
It always reminds me of when DJ's like, they say she's the same, but she's not the same. They say she's the same, but she's not the same. And it's like an older DJ goes crazy just thinking about his sisters. So it was just a really well done way of doing it.
Yeah. But their storyline is that they want to have this kind of friendship back that they lost, because we find out that Greg has been coming back to town. We just haven't seen him because he's purposefully stayed away from Rebecca. He didn't want anyone to let her know that he was there, because they just had such a toxic relationship and she broke his heart. And he's grown enough that now he's realizing that's not necessarily the way to handle things. She's grown enough. They seem to be getting along really well. There seems to be some romance going on, but she has that nasty little secret in the back of her head.
Yeah, she does.
I slept with your father.
Yeah. And there's no Paula to guide her. There's no one. She's kind of on her own, and she goes up and down in that roller coaster of, is she going to tell him or not going to tell him? Did you think she was going to tell him?
I felt like it had to come out one way or another. And I think with what they were doing with Rebecca's character, with having her grow, with having her be more honest, especially with the last episode with her mom, that I felt like she was going to ultimately make the decision to tell him.
I don't think she was going to tell him until he was like, I have to go talk to my father. And he said he's got to talk to me about something.
But I liked that. I liked that they slipped the kind of old Rebecca back in, like, oh, maybe there's a way I can get away with it. Again, going back to that, we don't completely 100% change as people. But I think that did spurn it. And, you know, even then she was like, I don't know. But I think that it was showing the growth of her that at the end she decided not to kiss him and tell him instead before any more mess
came. That was growth, and I think even he understood that with the stuff that he said. I don't know what it means for later. I'm sure we'll get into that in predictions, but he clearly understood that when he goes, maybe I'm not the only one that's changed. You've changed too. Mm-hmm. And he says it in a very expansive, ambiguous way. So we don't know if he thinks that's a good thing or a bad thing. We just know he knows that it's a thing.
Just talking through all of this, sorry to go on a little side tangent, but it just makes me think of how high school, being that this took place for a reunion from high school, how high school that this show can be. Whereas in, I'm just like realizing how many of these characters have slept with each other or had relationships with each other. And like, that's a very high school thing to do. Like where your little friend group, so many people have dated or broken up within it or backstabbed each other. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a cool little...
Love to know who your friends were there. I would love to know who your friends were, Brie.
Anyway.
Interesting. Interesting insight into your life. So go on.
But yeah, so we know Greg is sticking around to the end of the series.
Yes. Because he said so specifically. Yes.
He's back from winter break. We don't know what this necessarily means for his character because obviously he's still in Atlanta for school. And we know he's not with his serious girlfriend anymore, that he realized he didn't have the feelings for her that he's had for other people. A.K.A. Rebecca.
Rebecca. Yeah, that was nice.
Even though he wanted this fresh start, that can just never happen if you have a past with someone. Like, you can choose to forgive and forget and move forward, but you can't have a fresh start.
Sure.
Because that's always going to be in the back of your head. So, we'll see what happens with their relationships in future episodes. But with that, let's get into our special segments, though. Let's talk about some of these songs. So our first song we get is with Greg and Rebecca, which is the Hello, Nice to Meet You that we opened up on, where they're going to do this fresh start. They're going to reintroduce each other, but within the song, we learn that's not really possible because they keep saying all the past.
They know about each other, but they realize that fresh starts aren't really fresh starts. So it was very cute how they did it. It was a pretty straightforward song. I mean, we even know about the sauce on his. So the concept is it's not anything we had to look really into. I just think it was setting a tone for them and this newfound like of each other. Mm-hmm. And it comes off that they like each other even within the song. Even though they have bad things to say about each other, they had really good things and special memories of one another that were fond, yeah. Even in the negative.
Well, I think it's so true to life, though, that when you look back at past relationships, when stuff initially happens, all you look at is what the bad things were. And that's kind of partly for you to help heal and move past those relationships, sure. And be able to not dwell in them. But then, you know, when you do really look back at anything that's ended, you can't forget that there was still a lot of good within it. And they did have good moments, even though they want to call their stuff toxic. They did. I think that they connected the most of any of her and her love interests in the show because they had the most similarities.
Well, she started to have feelings for other people again. So she's like something she didn't really realize that she was having, like, or able to have. And it's been touching. We've touched upon it a couple times and we've seen it with Josh and Nathaniel. And it's been like just bing, bing. But this one seems to be a lot different. This seems to be a lot more real. This seems to be one she's willing to put an effort for. This seems to one that her friends ultimately are the ones who going back to the song, what was it called? Group Think.
The which one?
The Group Think song where they're like,
oh, the hive mind basically.
Yeah, Hive Mind tells you who to be in love with. The Hive Mind wants her to be in love with Greg.
Yeah, I mean, the show started with the dynamic of you're either Team Josh or you're Team Greg.
Yeah.
And Greg, to me, was always the choice that was, even though neither were healthy, he was more healthy because she wasn't obsessed with him. They were more on an equal playing field.
It was the right choice.
So it makes sense for him to come back into play. And it is interesting that they're doing this, like he's coming back into play now when she's kind of rekindling feelings for everybody in her life after taking a break from men completely.
Yeah, this episode made me definitely go Team Greg with no question.
Yeah.
Like, there was no question. Greg's the one.
I also love this.
Especially this Greg.
This Greg?
Yeah, this Greg. I just like this Greg better now. I don't know.
I also just loved within the song the different sets.
Yeah, that was funny.
Just how easy you can, like, be in a whole different, in Hollywood, you can just be in a different complete room or setting within a second.
Even though that bartender looked so unenthusiastic, I don't know why. I just felt like the bartender hated his job, even as the bartender who hated his job. I don't know. But it was funny. Like,
so you're saying the actor hated his job as the bartender hated his job?
It's like, I went to Juilliard for this! Like, I don't know why I pictured that in my mind when I was watching it.
And then our second song we get is the What You Missed While You Were Popular.
Love this song. I love this song. It was such a good dynamic for me, just because it was just funny and it was intuitive and it was smart and it was intelligent.
Well, I feel like it's that thing that they always try to convey through different shows, like, oh, because artists a lot of times end up being the unpopular kids in high school, so when they grow up they really want to show, yeah, this is like the dynamic of popular and unpopular, this is the success rate, and da da da.
That's a great but way to put it.
They did it in a way that was like, yeah, you missed out on the fact that there was goth kids, you missed out on the fact that there was. And, like, even bringing the popular football player in, like, yeah, I had these issues, too, and I just couldn't talk about it.
My parents went through divorce, but I compensated by being overconfident. And also watching my buddy Danny Jealous dance. That was that was funny for me. I just really enjoyed the song. It's one of my highlights of the year so far.
Well, it is kind of funny when you think of it. Like, not that everybody, but that there is that stereotype that popular kids don't leave high school.
Yeah.
Which is Josh and
which is very much Josh.
You go back to your hometown and you still see them hanging out with each other, and the people that were not as popular end up leaving and thriving in other ways. Yeah. Not that they aren't thriving in that certain ways, and not that every single popular kid is that person, but it is the stereotype. And that was 100%. It was kind of funny just to see them bring it away that, hey, look at all this stuff you missed out on, though, because you were popular.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, wow, this whole new world kind of to me.
It was good. Strong.
Yeah, it was a fun song. I thought both songs this episode were fun, strong songs.
They were. I like the I like the new You song. Yep. I just thought it was very straightforward. This song, you know, after you brought up the point of the feel of how many people who work in Hollywood were actually people who might have been in one of these dynamics. Like, I feel like everyone on the show really liked this song.
Yeah, probably. Because
it was them. It was each one of them.
Each of them had vicariously a different
through this. Yes.
Spot.
The band people, which that whole concept of the band getting it on is something we've seen played. Of course, American Pie brought that to the forefront, but each single group playing their own. Yeah, we might not have been popular, but we had exciting lives that you had no idea about.
And we were popular within ourselves.
Within ourselves, yeah.
Go both strong songs. So let's get into our second segment, which is the Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter.
Where we bloop, 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 bloop.
Go crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
No, you don't think that's hilarious?
No, I do. Just your bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah.
This is the segment where we kind of rate Rebecca on a scale of 1 to 10 on how crazy she was this episode. We've been talking about it all season, how in past years she's always gotten really high marks from us. And this whole season, I feel like the highest we've given her is a 4 or a 5.
Yeah, she's definitely on the 3. She's definitely bland this season.
Yeah.
Season's bland, which I'm going to save for predictions.
So what is your score for her for this particular episode? A 3? And what is your reasoning for the 3?
I would have given her higher had she not told him. But she told him in the right time, in the right manner. She didn't do anything outside of the ordinary. I don't know if anyone would feel like this is an easy thing to do. She didn't go crazy at any point. Everyone's still alive.
I'm going to go even lower than you. I think I'm giving her like a 1 this one.
Sheesh. I mean, she did still go up and down with the thoughts. And,
that's why she gets the 1.
Freak out on Paula.
But I feel like that's a pretty normal crazy. That's like something that multiple people, I think, have done.
I'm definitely still waiting to hang out with Bree more because this insight into who you are is saying a lot, Bree.
But I'm giving her like, okay, I'll give her a 1.5. We'll go up to 1.5.
Okay, there we go. Give her that 0.5.
Because of texting Paula and not getting a response and being like, maybe I should go check on her.
Yeah.
And see if she's okay.
No. Actually, that was not crazy. That's a very, if you text me, like, and it sounds like something's important and then you don't respond when I text you, I automatically assume you're dead. So like, that's how I feel. Like, if I call 3 people and they don't pick up, I think I'm a ghost. So I understand the concept of texting someone who always responds and them not responding at all.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like she should have gone and been like, are you okay? Because Paula always is there.
I know, but she didn't not do that. I mean, it was still within a responsible amount of time. And then Paula did, I think, respond. We saw by the end
of
it.
We saw by the end, yeah.
Or at least she actually looked at it, which I would assume she gave a response at
some
point. Well,
she talked to the Siri. Because then there was the whole...
Yeah, the comma
period. When she was trying to text without looking at her phone, she wrote Jim in pots or pans or whatever it was.
But that's what I'm saying. And I'm assuming that Rebecca would get that.
Maybe. But yeah, she's pretty low this episode for me. I think this is probably the most
sane Rebecca
episode I've seen so far.
It's a sane. It's a new Rebecca.
It's a new.
Or is it?
Meet Rebecca.
Let me know. Meet Rebecca. Even in the opening song, they alluded to the, we're going to break the fourth wall.
Yep.
I miss, what'd she say?
I missed the theme song from season one.
Yeah.
Let's get to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, with talking how Skylar Astin's coming in and he's being the new Greg, the original Greg, Santino Fontana, I know there was a whole lot of speculation of what's he doing, why is he not coming back to the show, why are they replacing him, and... it looks like he is actually going to be Tootsie on Broadway. The role was originated by Dustin Hoffman in the film. They put out this promo just a week or so ago of him in this dress shaving because Tootsie's a big, not like the first because they've always done it, but like it's one of the bigger man dressing as a woman films, I think.
Yeah.
In the past. But yeah, so he's going to be starring in that new musical on Broadway.
Looking good.
he can't be here. So at least if he's not here, it's for a really good reason.
Great reason. And I wonder how that discussion went down, but Broadway is Broadway.
So. Yeah, and he originated with Broadway. He came he's a Broadway from being guy. Cinderella. Or not being Cinderella, being in Cinderella.
Hey, I don't know anymore.
I mean, he does rock that dress. So, you know, good, sending good vibes over there to him and all of his future endeavors. And luckily for him, Skylar Astin did a good enough job for me.
Yeah, it was great. And he was great. He was great. But now I like New Greg.
Yeah, and I think they worked well together. Now I kind of want to see them be in a musical together and be like brothers or something.
Maybe the song sold me. I like the New Greg.
There you go. Let's get into some predictions for next... not next week, for next year.
Next year.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
You seem very excited for this, so I'm going to let you go first.
It's not that I'm so excited. Okay.
You're rubbing your hands together an evil genius.
Let me go through. Number one, Heather kept saying how good her marriage is. Uh-oh. Number one, okay? Number two, I think Josh finds out about Father Bra. And number three, I think we have been waiting a long time for Crazy Heather. I mean, Rebecca. And I think Crazy Rebecca comes back full force. I think Crazy Rebecca does something so crazy, we'll never forget it.
I don't disagree with you on that one, especially because they're bringing all of these three guys back into her life.
Yes.
And before she maybe only had a triangle. Now look what I called it was the love square. So I think there's definitely going to be some weirdness happening through there and who she, because she doesn't know which one she wants right now. She wants all three.
Yeah. I would say it's a prism, not a square, because it's not like, anyway, go on.
Anyway.
It's like they're all pointed towards her. Anyway, go on. I'm just saying.
I just took a new shape, okay?
Okay.
So I definitely think that we're going to get some interesting episodes coming up dealing with all three of them. I know we don't have that much more to go, so obviously it's gonna have to wrap up quickly. So I think that we're not gonna have any more filler episodes, at least I'm hoping, but I'm
going,
I don't think we have
season.
Enough time to have any more filler episodes. If we're gonna really get to the end of this and where she's gonna go, we have to have every episode from here on out be jam-packed.
Five episodes of just woo.
Let me just make sure it is five episodes. I'll look that up while I make my last prediction, which is that with Paula, because we didn't get a whole lot of her this episode, and we know that she's graduating law school. So I think we're going to see some interesting things with her, because we haven't explored a lot with her besides the fact that she's graduating law school this episode.
That's a great call.
Or not this episode, this season. So I think we're going to really shift that dynamic of her and Rebecca, with her being a lawyer and Rebecca now being...
Rebetzel.
And Paula kind of like figuring herself out and having her stuff together, and Rebecca kind of... So I think we're going to really get that mom to... child dynamic that we used to have in season one kind of back, but maybe in a different way. And I'm just double checking how many
episodes. Let's see how many episodes are
left. Episode 8, so we have
12 total. 13.
We have 10 more episodes then.
10 more episodes,
because there's 18 episodes in the season.
18 episodes, okay, so that's pretty good.
I don't know if we can realistically be done by Valentine's Day then, can we?
10 episodes January. Nope, that's 7 coming back.
Because even if they come back in early January, I'm trying to see what our date, our comeback date is.
President's
January
Day's
11th is the...
Yeah, so when's the last... It doesn't tell us?
Let me check on one more website to see if I can find out, because I know we have to wrap it up, but... but I know we're coming back... So we're coming back January 11th for sure, and so we have 10 episodes. So even if they don't take a break... cannot be done by Valentine's Day.
Well, they said something.
Unless they do double episodes. It looks like, it looks like it's definitely going into March.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's weird that they kept referring to that.
We'll see.
Unless they're just going to like make it seem for them like March is Valentine's
Day.
Oh, so
yeah, it just pushes up and we see things, but March is still Valentine's Day. It's not
like their timeline isn't moving as fast as ours.
Okay.
That could make sense, though.
That works.
Because they could come back and still do Christmas, New Year's, and all that in the new year. All right, we're going to go with that for now until we see differently.
I can see that.
But until next year, where can they find you?
Well, find me at I Am Taron all across the board. Also, find me in a couple ICUs right after this episode. Thank you so much for watching this year. We loved having you. And thanks for having me.
You guys can find me at Bree, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And we will see all of you guys in 2019.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.